Improve it, peeps. Welcome to today's show. This month, we are talking about openness. And today's episode is a deep dive into this concept, and it is one that I'm very familiar with. We are talking about dual career families, families where both partners work. We are diving deep into the question, can you really have it all without sacrificing what matters most? And I have special guest Tiffany Souter on the show to talk to us all about it. Now, Tiffany is the CEO to Element 3, a full-service marketing agency. She's a keynote speaker, a podcast host to the Scared Confident podcast, which I was recently a guest on, and she is a mom of four beautiful girls. I was a guest on her show, like I said, and I was just in awe of how she does it all and does it with grace. Her website will bring you joy because you can see her in her element as a CEO and speaker, but also as a mom. And in my opinion, there are very few websites that do that, mine included. Hers is amazing. So I definitely want you to check her out. I have to say that this show is filled with hacks, so many good hacks. Like, I could have talked to her for forever. So if you are a dual career home or you're a person who just wants more life hacks where you can enjoy more joy in your life, get ready to enjoy this episode. If you clicked play today on the show, it's because you're in a dual career family and you need help navigating it all. You're a single parent trying to make it all happen. You have a friend or a loved one who you want to support, who is a career-driven parent, or you are generally interested in just learning life hacks. Now, as a dual career family myself, I have to tell you, this conversation gives me so many tangible takeaways. And as a dual career family, I have to say it's not easy because both being a full-time CEO, podcast host, et cetera, is a full-time job, but also being a parent is a full-time job. And Tiffany has strategies and practices that we can put in place to help us navigate it all so we can have more joy in our day to day. Let's stick with our theme of openness and have an open mind and open heart. Without further ado, let's get to improving it with Tiffany Souter. Tiffany, welcome to the Improve It podcast. I'm happy for you to be here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's going to be very fun. I feel like I know you because we've already hung out once.
I know.
It's very fun.
I was on your show, which we'll link to in the show notes so everybody can listen. Hopefully this will, they'll come out around the same time because I had the best time on your show. I felt like I know you too. Like when we just jumped on, I was like, hey, Jeff, you know, like we're getting right into it. I'm like, you know, I'm feeling nauseous today. We just went right in. So I'm excited that you're here. And I always start the show just by acknowledging the theme for the month. So this month's theme is openness. So with that in mind, is there a one-word intention that comes to mind for you when you think about sharing your knowledge with our audience today?
I think the word that came to mind for me, because it's been such a big part of my own journey, is vulnerability when you said that. And when we get so busy, so programmed, so important, so, you know, in a space where we're just like, you know, we kind of stop feeling our world and we're just living in it, clinging and like continuing to stay committed to vulnerability where I'm feeling my feelings, have the time to be honest about them, I'm putting myself in new situations where I'm not in charge, I'm not in top, I'm not the leader. You're like just vulnerably stepping in. When you say openness, that's like what I start to want to feel in my body and like want to have in my life when you say that word.
Oh my God, I love that. And you are vulnerable. So this was fun because I was on your show and, you know, obviously I looked up who you were, your show, all the things, But this time I got to research you and just dive into your world. And it was so fun because the way that you share yourself as a business owner, the way you share yourself as a mom, I think takes a lot of vulnerability and openness because you're having a conversation that a lot of people want to have, especially in corporate America. And I'm glad we can bring some light to it today. So let me start here. What inspired you? You talk all about dual careers. You're helping women navigate, and men, you're helping parents navigate this dual career life. What inspired you to get started in this field? And what, I know you have four girls, but what drew you to this topic and guided you to the platform that you have today?
Yeah, sure. So my first professional pursuit was I spent about 20 years building a big advertising agency. And I'm super lucky that today I have a president that runs that and I'm still involved, but I have some time to kind of step into this creative, it was creating like tools and resources for dual career homes. And it came from my own experience. I haven't studied this. I don't have a big, you know, research background, but I was raised by a stay-at-home mom. And my grandmas both stayed home as well. And I grew up in a real small rural town. And so my picture of life was imprinted as a result of that. And the patterns I saw, the systems I saw work in our household, my expectations for what adulthood was going to look like was really, you know, rightly informed and colored by that. And then I have my first kid. My husband and I, you know, both went to college. We have jobs. We get married. We have our first kid. And I was like, you know, kind of thought I'd stay home because that's what my mom did. And I was like, well, there's just one, you know, there doesn't seem like there's that much to do. I don't know. I'll keep working. And then maybe when I have my second, you know, I'll probably stay home. And so then I had our second and I was like, I don't know. I just don't know that that's like, it, and so it just became this like gradual choice where I was like, it just never felt like right to stay home, to be a stay-at-home mom. I really felt so called, so alive that my mission field, my talents, my growth, the way I'm wired to be was supposed to be in business and working outside of the home. And so that required a lot of stuff that I didn't know how to do. My husband, he's an Ivy League football player. He runs a company that's like literally $1 billion in revenue. He has a huge job. And I wanted to have my own huge thing too. And so it's like, but I also wanted to have a big family. I'm the oldest of four. I wanted to have a bunch of kids. And I was like, how do we do all this together? And for a long time, we just did it. We kept pushing more into the cup of life, more into the cup of life, more into the cup of life until we had pushed everything out of it that we loved. We had pushed each other out of it. We had pushed quality time with one another around it. We had pushed friends out of it. We were just managing our existence. We were managing our house. We were managing our jobs. We were managing our calendars. We were managing the logistics. We were managing laundry. But we didn't actually live in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, there is no way I am this smart and I've gotten to this place in my life where I've just built a prison I don't want to live in. There's no way this is what life is about. There is no way. What happens if I expect differently? And this did not come in as intellectual a format as I'm, you know, displaying it today. My marriage was at the absolute end. We had had those conversations that your younger self is sure will never happen to you about like, hey, look, this first version of this marriage is over. We are just existing. We don't know this version of one another anymore. We've got more conflict than love. Like it was hard and it was bad. And we had to figure out if we're going to rebuild together or not. My business owned me. You know, you hear those stories about entrepreneurs who start businesses for freedom and then it ends up, you know, becoming the wall. And that's what had happened to me. It owned me. I was the whole thing. It was like, I was too important to all of it. And I had these girls that I loved so much, but even when I was with them, I was not living inside of my own body. I was not available to them, not because I wasn't carving out the time, but because I just couldn't rest. And I was like, this cannot be what the next 20 years of my life look like. This cannot be it. And so that started a process of kind of throwing everything I thought I knew out the window and rebuilding our life, rebuilding the systems, rebuilding the way I manage our environment, rebuilding my expectations of my own life and saying like, no, I am going to demand that I love my days. And if that is my choice, what does that mean for how I do everything around me? And so anyways, through that, over the last 5 to 7 years, I've learned a lot. And I found myself having lots of coffees and lunches and, you know, staying after late at networking events, people, young women asking me, people who are kind of watching my career, like, how do you do it all? And then I had my fourth at 40 and it's like, holy crap, how did you add another baby? And it's like, you can if you want to, you just have to be really strategic about it. So I think we live in such an important moment in our culture where there is so much opportunity for everyone. But I think there's this silent suffering that is happening inside of our homes, inside of our businesses, inside of our cultures. And I want to make a safe place for those cries to be heard and to build a toolbox for to help people do it, not just to encourage them on the journey. So,
Okay. This is like the breath of fresh air I needed today. Okay. It's like a cool breeze right here because so many things that you said, I know so many people can relate to. Parents, it doesn't have to just be specifically people who identify as women. I'm talking about parents in general.
Yeah.
Two things that I really want to pinpoint and ask you to dive deeper on in that. One, how do you rest now? What does rest look like to you now after navigating this huge life transition? How do you rest today?
Well, I can answer that really literally in a moment if that's helpful, but let me give a more conceptual answer first and then we can see if you want me like literally talk about how I rest. So I believe restfulness to me has less to do with literal rest. Like, yes, I sleep 7 hours a night. That's important. That's how my body's set up. But I don't, when I am in my space of genius, like doing time with the people I love and spending time on the things I'm wired to do, I don't need a pursuit of rest because what I'm doing is just feeding me. And what I have learned is that I think when we use this word balance, and I think we wrongly tie it to this concept of time, that my life is in balance if I have a perfect pie chart of how I'm spending my days every day. This part is allocated to food and food prep. This part is allocated to exercise. This part is allocated to family time. This part is allocated to my job. This part is allocated, like it becomes this like program we expect to run every day that is just allocating time against what we believe our priorities are. And what I've learned for me to be, I think, a richer definition of balance is it's when your values and your priorities are both being served. When you're sitting in that space, work becomes rest because you are so aligned with who it is you are, your values, and the what you want to become or the what you're trying to move forward. And when those things are congruent, whether work takes up 4 hours a day or 14 hours a day, if it's in congruence with those two things, there's somehow rest even in that.
I hear that.
And I think we try to define it as, because there are days where, you know, work is 14 hours and there are days when work is 4 hours. Like it just has to fit in different compartments. But when your values and your priorities, who you are and what you're trying to make happen and your choices sit squarely inside of that quadrant, I think that for me, work even becomes rest in that way.
Oh, I love that. It's so interesting. And you know, I have one more question that you talked about previously that I want to get to, but thinking about what you just said, it really resonates. And I think it really hits home for a lot of people. When you're in alignment with your assignment, you don't necessarily need to prop your feet up on the couch. And I think for me, what happened in my own life recently was, I mentioned this to you and everyone listening knows I went through a concussion that lasted a really long time, almost 4.5 months of just symptoms. And I had never understood rest before that. I did not know what it meant to rest. I thought that was napping. I literally thought, like, you need to nap. But rest is anything that really feeds your soul. And if your work feeds your soul and there's things that you're doing inside of that, you don't need to lay on the couch and take a nap and close your eyes and be completely silent because you're just feeding yourself. Rest is recharging. And I love that definition, especially when you talked about balance. The other thing when you said earlier was that now you are like, I just want to really enjoy my days. What does that look like? Tell us that, because I'm sure there's so many people listening that are just stuck in the messy middle. They're stuck in the day-to-day. They're stuck in the rut. How do you do that? How do you find joy?
Well, one of the things I observe is that we trade things that are discardable for things that aren't. So here's an example. I think no one should do their own laundry. You are not uniquely qualified to do it. And there are so many people that say, I don't have time to exercise, and they're doing their laundry. That to me is an example of a bad exchange of time. You can use a service and send it out for less than $50 a week. And every family, if you have four people or no more, is spending at least 4 to 6 hours a week on laundry. For my family of six, it's 8 to 10. And getting that time back to do things that you want, that bring you joy, that is what I mean. That's a system that perpetually solves the fact that if I have not worked out a certain time, a certain amount of times a week, and I do not get to bed by 10 o'clock, I'm not good. I'm not good for my people. I'm not good for my commitments. I'm not good for my things. I'm not good for myself. So how are you going to make that time? Because you can't just live an eternally additive existence. So what are you going to give up to get what you want? And that is what I asked that question to myself for 3 years straight. What are you going to give up to get what you want? What are you going to give up to get what you want? Because it is not an eternally additive game. So I was willing to give up laundry, and I was willing to give up no Starbucks in our house to be able to pay for that. I was willing to give up a designer handbag so that I could pay for a house cleaner for a year. I was willing to give up getting my nails done because that for me was like silly time. It was like more time I could put in my career and more time I could put into like what are you willing to give up to get what you want? And people don't like that truth, that it's not just a perpetual life of yes. And we are making bad exchanges. We are exchanging stuff that we do not care about for things that are the most precious things in our lives.
Oh my God. I love this. Okay. I'm like a system lover. I love a process. I love a hack. Okay. And so you gave us a few. You gave us laundry.
Do you do your own laundry, Erin? Do you send your laundry out?
Okay. This is a real truth. I actually have a nanny and she helps with our laundry. So that is a system that I am so grateful for. She will not be here next year because my son is going to kindergarten, but she does all of our laundry. She lays it out. We put it away. That hack in itself is amazing. Having her to help us unload the dishwasher during the day, having her help us run errands where I'm, you know, launching a book. She goes to UPS or USPS for me probably 3 times a week. And having her to run those errands that are things that need to happen in our home has been a game changer. I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Got to figure that out.
Well, you're going to have to solve for it. And you're going to have to know that this change moment is going to create a complexity because you're going to have to run your son when you don't have to right now. Yep. You're going to have things that you're, I'm just saying, this is, don't wait for that crash to come to solve for it.
Love.
No, change is a moment we all have to pay attention to. Any kind of change. A spouse gets a new job. You get a promotion. You suddenly join a board that meets in the evenings. Your kid joins a travel thing. A spouse has to travel and didn't have to. We talked a lot about that on my podcast. Like, pay attention to change and do not be a victim to its impact on your life. Get ahead of it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You've got to. And that's when I talk about bringing joy into my life and being maniacal about saying, I am not going to be, you know, this kite tail that's just getting whipped around in the wind by my life. It's like, this moment is coming. How are we going to solve for this? How do I anchor into the things that I have decided are imperatives in my life? I call those my minimums. And how does it get solved? And I think, Erin, we have to, as professional women, or it doesn't have to be women, but I found that there's usually a primary solver inside of the home, like the chief operating officer. In my visual scan of people raising their hands, like 90% of the time, that's the woman. not always, but most of the time, the primary solver, the COO, we have to get more comfortable talking about that we have help.
Yes.
Like when I was a young woman having kids, adding my family, I had this company I was growing. I had these huge ambitions of all the stuff I wanted to do. And my husband has all this cool stuff he wants to do. I would listen to the little cracks of whispers of women mentioning they had somebody who did this stuff for them. And I was like, that's bonkers. That's so cool. And people shut down so quickly thinking it's too expensive for me. Because we grow up watching sitcoms of like butlers and nannies inside of mansions. And that is not what you and I live in. We don't have 20,000 square foot houses that are lined with 18-inch crown molding and gold on the floor. We live in regular houses.
Yeah. I don't have a heated toilet. My toilet is not heated. No.
Yeah. My point is, these are not... We live in such an amazing time where these services are so affordable and so accessible. And so search and understand what it costs. Educate yourself on how you would do it, because it is an unlock. It's an absolute unlock. And if you're stubborn about outsourcing, I see you. I get you. I love you. There are just some things you're not... There we go. I see you. Yep. A little book promo here for Aaron.
Yep.
But there are going to be some things you can't say yes to if that is what you decide to love. And that's okay. You get to choose that.
Yes. Okay. I got to unpack this with you. I had a whole list of questions. I'm shooting from the hip because this is way better. So let me ask you this. So for me, in what we just had this conversation, when you asked me, Aaron, do you have anyone help you do your laundry? Do you know what I did inside my own brain? I went, oh, I'm revealing this. Oh, like I felt that tinge of, yes, I have help. And you're absolutely right. We should be able to share that. I could not run a business at this level, be a keynote speaker. You're a keynote speaker. We couldn't have podcasts. You couldn't have four children, have a child and a family and do it all. You can't. And so I think revealing those truths is so important. And I think you just helped me unpack that in my own mind, because I will tell you, when I started this business, a girl on my team, Christy, I love you, Christy. She's a dear friend, been with me for 10 years. I started the business right when Instacart and all of these like at-home grocery delivery services started. And I was probably 31 and I was Instacarting and I had a house cleaner come to my apartment in Chicago. And she was like, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy, right? This is 9 years ago. And I said, it's me getting back that time for myself, because when I'm going grocery shopping, that's 2.5 hours of my day. When I'm cleaning my house on the weekends, that's 3.5 hours where I could either be relaxing, spending time with my husband, seeing friends. So these outsource things are so worth it to me. And now I outsource almost completely everything in my life. I'm going to be real, because except the things I cannot give to somebody else, the things that my brain need to touch. And I could not, would not be sitting here talking to you without those. And so I don't want to make this about me. I want to hear your systems. Tell me your systems. Tell me.
Well, like success of my initiative will be when young women, like 27 years old, are not saving for the handbag you're carrying.
Yeah.
But they're saving for the fact that they're going to get somebody to come into their home a half day a week and help with what you're talking about, returns and taking down Christmas decorations and all the crap that has to happen when you decide you're going to live a full life. When I entertain, all that stuff has to be put away. All that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
Yes.
To live a great big life. So that's my goal, is like, we put so much emphasis on what we own, and we are just very bad at, I think, putting the right emphasis on making sure that you have the time to live the life that you want. And that's what I want to talk about. So,
oh my God, I'm so here for this. I feel like I wish we could, we need to like stream this episode in every single platform in America, because I will tell you, my girlfriends, my best friends, I'm 40, almost 41 years old. I have several friends who I know who are drowning in work. They don't have help. They might have a cleaner come over a couple times a month, but they don't outsource anything. And I'm going to tell you why. And I also know why I didn't do certain things for a while. because I will, let me speak from my own experience. I didn't think, A, that somebody could do it better than me, and B, there was guilt associated with it. And that guilt was mostly surrounding my son, because obviously, like, you know, you love your mom, you love your parents, you're obviously always going to be their parent, but I didn't want anybody else to have, to get the experiences that I was missing by working. And I will say this for free, when you find the right person to share that experience with your family, Callie is the name of our nanny. She's not a nanny, she's a family member. Like, she is everything to us. Her experiencing life with my son is like watching two best friends. Like, it does not make me jealous. It makes me so proud that there's somebody else in his village helping and supporting and guiding and growing him. And he says things like her all the time. He loves Taylor Swift because of her. Like, it is magical to watch. So I think the first thing is letting go of that guilt and tell me what in your, you know, your experience and how you teach this, but then also making sure, especially when it comes to childcare, you really, the values align with that person and you feel an attachment to that human being because they are raising your human beings just as much as you are. So do you find in your experience that that is some of the reasons why people don't ask for help or don't try to get help in certain areas, or what is it?
Totally. I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of misconceptions, and I think people have really outsized expectations that it's going to be perfect from the jump. It is another human being doing a task that they have no reference for how you want it, when, you know, like how you've done it. They've not lived in your house. Like, having patience with them. And we can maybe spend a second on the nanny part, or just childcare and the choice to work outside the home and the fact that your kid needs to be with somebody. We've also always made the choice for in-home care. It sounds like that's what you guys have too. We've had nannies for 15 years in our home. And it does take courage to let somebody else love your kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you start to see, like you talk about, they're like a family member and you embrace them in that way, it sounds like you guys do. Like, I don't treat them like employees. I do, in the sense of there are very clear expectations. You need to be there on time. You need to be respectful of me and the responsibilities that I have. And this is a professional engagement, but you are in my home. And so, because of that, you're going to see me in my robe. You're going to see me with and without makeup on. You're going to fold my underwear. You're going to see us on really good days when the cleaners have just been there. You're going to be there on days where it was a crazy night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's crumbs everywhere. Yeah. And so, and like, we are going to live life together. And so you have to know that you want to invest in their life too. Like, what are you interested in? And what do you do? And what food do you love to eat? And what coffee do you love to have? And can I have your favorite creamer here? And when's your birthday? And you need to see them and remember them and thank them and bring them into your house and invite them over for dinner and hang out here. We got an extra ticket to the concert for you. Like, then you're doing life with them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't become this push and pull between who's number one, you or your nanny. And the kids start to just feel so safe and so integrated, and it's awesome.
Yes. Yes. And I think that, you know, this goes into something we were talking about earlier, which was women going back to work, coming back from maternity leave, finding that right childcare for your family. And it may not be a nanny, it might be a daycare. We actually started in daycare, but my son got really sick. And so we had to pull him out right before COVID hit, which was a blessing because we had childcare during COVID. So I think for a lot of people, finding that person is so important, but also navigating that sort of fourth trimester or that return back to the office and knowing that you have somebody that you trust, or knowing you have a team of people or a school or a system that you trust, is so important. What are you seeing around that? What challenges do you find that women have going back to work?
Well, I find it's a change moment. So all their systems have broken.
Yeah.
So there's two things. One is their mental expectations. when young women start back at Element 3 at the agency, I always meet with them and say, I just need to know the first year is hard no matter what you pick.
Yeah.
So that, like, if you stay home, it's super hard. If you work part-time, it's hard. If you work full-time, it's like, it's just a hard year.
Yeah.
Every 90 days, the baby's making major milestone changes. Your body is changing a lot. Your brain is coming back and then it's not, like, all the things. So it's just a hard season. And so be graceful with your expectations of yourself and your performance, and not every day is your best day, and that's okay. So that's one, just sort of framing the process with just some grace personally for themselves. I just, as I think back at myself, I would just be like, honey, just go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not sleeping, your body's going through a lot. It's just a lot. And the other is helping them get really good systems and process in place. And I am maniacal about two things: my morning wind up and my evening wind down. And I have very specific 10 to 15 minute cycles, systems that run.
I need to know them. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you here because we need to dive into both of these and then keep answering the question, but we need to dive in. Give me the morning first.
Sounds great.
Give me the morning.
The morning one. So the morning one is simpler because I get everything done at night, but my morning is unload the dishwasher, look at backpacks, refill water bottles, and put lunches in. Like, that's pretty much what happens. It's pretty simple. And then I have a house manager who comes in 2 days a week, and I have a nanny who comes in the other three. So she's going to take care of putting breakfast away and all that stuff. But we unload the dishwasher. I go through backpacks, make sure everybody's set and out the door. My evening wind down, though, is a little bit bigger. And that has, let's see if I can remember off the top of my head. I have to have clean surfaces. We have a bunch of people with a lot of people eating all the time. So our dishwasher has to be run. So I wipe down all the counters. I want to be able to see my reflection. Once that's done, kitchen's closed. I run the dishwasher every single night. I don't care if there are four forks or if there's like 1,000 things, but we have to start the day with an empty dishwasher because people are going to be putting stuff in all day long. I empty the trash, the main one, and the two main bathrooms. We pack lunches while I'm cleaning up dinner because I don't like all the schleppy stuff coming out of the fridge. And then we sweep the floor. So, and then we do a 10-minute family pick and put. So if five people in our family take 10 minutes to pick stuff up, that is 50 minutes of progress that we have made.
Yes.
So I'll set a timer. We'll play two like Taylor Swift songs, whatever it is. And whoever is there, sometimes my big kids are at practice, sometimes whatever, whoever's there, 10-minute pick and put, you know, hang the coat up that was on the ground, put your backpack where it goes, put your shoes in the cubbies, like take your dress up stuff back downstairs. It's like a 10-minute pick and put, and then we go put on jammies and, you know, do the kind of the thing. But that makes it so when I wake up in the morning and I walk out into the kitchen, it is a fresh start platform because we launch hard every day.
Yeah.
And if I am starting with the toaster out and crumbs and the cereal box still in the thing and like mail from yesterday, it just keeps coming.
Yeah.
And I observe that. Like, I can't start when the space is cluttery. It's a thing for me.
Me too.
There's more meals, there's more crumbs, yeah. There's more trash, there's more dishes. And when it's just constantly raining, if you don't have a day or a time in the day or however you do to kind of get back to even, you're screwed. So I run that process 6 days a week. I give myself 1 day a week that's like, it just didn't go great. But I probably hit 7 times a week, 45 weeks a year. Like,
yes.
Whenever I don't do it the night before, I pay so hard the next morning for walking out and being like, it's a mess. There's still this pan. There's the things. And so I have this printed out. It's my whole family knows what the wind down schedule is. If they're, you know, not doing homework and stuff, they help me with it. And it's mine to own, but we share it. And it's published and it's talked about and they know exactly what's happening.
Yes.
And so we're all invested in it. So that's an example of a system that I run, my morning wind up and evening wind down.
I love a system. Okay. So many questions.
I have a resource. So if you want, I have a resource that walks people how to do this, I can send it to you and we can link to it in show notes, but it walks them through exactly how to think about, and I have my example in there and how to think through, how do you use that time really strategically and intentionally so that you're starting fresh and the right things are getting done.
Let me tell you, I want this. So yes, we will put it in the show notes. Super. Okay, I will be downloading it as well as the Improve It peeps. So a couple things I'm thinking through here. Number one, we both have you have a house manager and a nanny. I have a nanny. Those do cost money. Those are outsourced things. What if somebody listening is not in a place right now that they could have in-home help? What would you say to that person, and how could they get really streamlined and outsource things strategically without having to pay for that expense?
I don't know how to help you pay nothing, but I can help you do some things inexpensively.
Yeah, let's hear those.
I think everybody has somewhere in their life they can prune.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a want. Yeah. This to me is need stuff. So again, you have to choose that. But there's a service called Poplin. It's nationwide in the U.S. I don't know if you have international listeners. Nationwide in the U.S. And it is an app that is a laundry service. And it's $1 a pound. Poplin. I can provide you that link too. For my whole family, when we got back from vacation, I sent out all of our laundry from a whole week. And it was $28.
Wow.
So 40, like I'm telling people, you can do your laundry, all of the laundry in your house for less than $40 a week. All of the laundry in your house probably does not weigh 40 pounds.
Yeah.
And it comes back in 24 hours, folded in clear, brand new trash bags. And it's awesome.
Love
and
it.
Just like with Instacart and those things, you can favorite your washer, you can request them, you can wait for them. So that's like the same person who's always doing your laundry. Create a relationship with them, explain to them what you want. You can message them if you've got special requests, if there's things you want to be hung up and not dried, you can like do all that inside of it. You can pick your detergent, all the stuff. It's amazing. Everybody I know, including my 15-year-old, she can afford Poplin. It's a $20 minimum. She could afford $20 a week to send her laundry out. That's one complaint I hear, and then I'll go to my other idea. One complaint I hear is like, I want my kids to know how to do this stuff. I send out all of our laundry or have our house manager do it. My kids know how to do laundry. They don't have to do every load of laundry in their life to know how to do laundry. And I also want my girls to know how to scale their time. So doing things for them and them not understanding the exchange of what's happening, what does that afford me to be present for and how I can go to their stuff and be at a volleyball tournament. And like, I want to show them how I'm scaling my impact. There's education in that too. So yes, kids need to learn how to do stuff. Yes, they need to have abilities. But for $20 a week, even if they're making $56,000 a year, they can probably afford to do that.
Yes.
So that's Poplin. That's my laundry hack. Most dry cleaners also have laundry services. As we start to wear more cotton, as fabrics start to get much nicer, there's a lot less dry cleaning going on. And so laundry is a big part of the way that it's like an alternative revenue stream. So those would be get rid of your laundry. I'm telling you, get rid of it. Like towels, clothes, sheets, rugs. Send it out and have it come back clean and spend 20 minutes putting it away. I'm really big on grocery delivery too. We talked about that. That's a really, really big time saver. I don't have time for that. You pay a little premium, but it's worth coming back 1,000 times over. Cleaning your house. It does not have to be a professional service. Find a kid from your church. Find a neighbor. Find somebody at the gym whose teenager needs more money. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but there are very cost-effective ways to get help with some things where if everybody spends 1 hour and you have three people doing that, that's 3 hours of progress that got done. So it doesn't have to be a housekeeper and like this big thing, but figure out how you can growth hack your way into it so that as your earning increases, as you get bonuses, you squirrel that money away to give you time back instead of more stuff to manage.
Oh my God. I love it. Yes, Poplin is on my list now. That is happening for me in 2025.
Yeah, that could be a big hack for you. Yeah.
Yes. And then also, I will say this. So my mother had a stroke in 2020. Her entire life, she was also somewhat of a stay-at-home mom. She worked part-time, taught piano and voice out of my house. But she cleaned, she did all of our laundry, she did the cooking, like that. I had a brother and my dad worked full-time and that was the gig, right? Once she came back from having a stroke, I got her a cleaning service. Well, I found one for her. She pays for it. So she has now a cleaning service that comes twice a month. And I showed her how to use Instacart. Her life has changed and she's retired. And I'm like, you're welcome, because now you can actually enjoy your retirement instead of feeling like you have to do all these things all the time. So I love these hacks. I love that you don't necessarily have to pay an arm and a leg for them. You don't have to have the in-house housekeeper or the in-house nanny, but you can outsource these things. And also things like TaskRabbit. Like, I think they have people that will come and do certain things around your home if you need certain help. And that's pretty affordable.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you a hack on that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a note on my phone because everybody's got stuff broken in their house. Like the toilet paper holder came off and the door squeaks and the, like, you know, you're going through your house and you're like, oh, somebody banged into the baseboard. Like, that needs to be fixed. I keep a note on my phone of all the little stuff that needs to be done. And once a quarter, I have a handyman come for a day and it's his punch list.
Love.
And that's just set up. And so then I'm not calling people in for 30 minutes and I have to be there and the thing and I pay $17 and like, oh, it's just like all this micromanagement. So that's another system I have. Once a quarter, he's touching up paint, he's fixing baseboards, he's fixing a thing, he's like whatever. Because you see it as you're living
yes.
in it. And then it's one appointment, one schedule. Again, find somebody who's good and tell them, hey, I want you to come the second Tuesday of every third month. And they'll be excited that it's predictable revenue for them.
Yeah.
And you'll be excited that there's somebody who knows your house. Have them change your filters. Have them put more salt in your water softener. Like, all that stuff becomes their job.
I love it. I feel like I could talk systems. To you forever. This is what system. I crave. I okay. love building yeah. processes and systems. Like, I love this. And I feel like every parent, even if you're not a parent and you're listening to this, you can use this. If you are a professional working every day, 40 plus hours a week. Take these totally. Hacks, run with them. Genius. Okay. And I have to ask you this. This is a question I ask everybody on the show. Improve It is the name of the show. It's the name of the company we run. We say your it is that thing that you were put on this earth to do. It's your purpose. What is Tiffany's it?
Well, I think my superpower is to synthesize complexity. And I get really excited about helping high achievers live a life where they have the space to love and to serve and not just do. And so I feel like I'm like patient one of that journey. I love to achieve. I love to have goals. I love to do big things. But that becomes a prison that you live in if you don't have space to love and serve. So.
Oh, my God. Mic drop. The mic is down. Okay, the mic is down. That was so good. I literally could talk to you forever. And I know the Improve It peeps are going to want to just get to know you, find out more. So tell them where they can do that.
Yeah. If you want more tips and information like this, I have a podcast called Scared Confident. And I am sharing my real life sideline of new things I'm learning, sharing stories of others who are solving in the same capacity. And we're always coming out with new resources for people who are looking to solve in this way. So we'd love for you to join me over there at Scared Confident.
Love it. Okay, we will put that link in there too. And Tiffany, I mean, I for real could have talked to you for 3 hours. I love these hacks. This was so tangible, so beautiful. And also thanks for being vulnerable and sharing with yeah. us what you do. Come full circle on that intention. So loved having you. And we'll probably have you back in a while to get some more hacks. So
we'd love to.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thanks, Erin. Appreciate it.
Improve It, peeps. What a show. Oh my gosh. I could have talked to Tiffany literally for 5 more hours. The hacks, the systems, the processes, all of them are so fantastic. I want you to do this. I want you to pick one system from today that you are going to try and implement in your life. And I want you to think of one thing that you're going to give up in order to outsource this cost. So maybe you stop going to Starbucks every morning and you find somebody to do your laundry, like this Poplin app that she mentioned on the show. Or maybe you stop getting your nails done, as Tiffany mentioned, and you hire somebody to help come in your home and clean to give you that extra time and space where you could be resting or enjoying your life. Whatever the hack that resonated most with you, I want you to put it into motion. And as you know, I am so proud of you. I want you to keep failing, keep improving because this world needs that very special it that only you can bring. I'll see you next time.
Podcast.